James Echigori, making your Colchonero chat debut. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me on, Jeremy. Excited to talk with you about this game.
Now, I was on the Inside Athletic pod earlier this week previewing this match, and a few of the things we discussed in that pod are going to be kind of pertinent here. Pretty good game at the Wanda Metropolitano. Finished 2-0 to Atletico. Kind of a rickety first half from Atletico's point of view. Athletic, I think, were arguably the better side. And the second half, Atletico pulled away, and in the end, it was a convincing victory, James.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I personally believe Athletic were the better side in the first half, and I think the players did too. Most of them have come out in post-game press conferences saying that they thought they were better and they should have scored at least one goal in the first half and probably should have gotten some points from that. But that's been the story this year. Good first half, poor second halves, and I think this was more than anything just a case of being beaten by a better team.
I was a little taken aback by the intensity with which Atletico started the second half. We've seen the slow starts from Atletico all season. They have not scored within the first 20 minutes in any game this year, but they came out with a lot more intensity in the second half, and I do want to touch on that in a minute. As is front page coming out of Madrid on Sunday morning, Correa pone paz. Angel Correa gives peace, effectively, with the goals, quote-unquote, reconciling Atletico with the Wanda. It has been a turbulent week in the capital for Los Colchoneros. As we talked about earlier this week, the victory over Leverkusen was unconvincing in midweek, so Atletico needed to put in a pretty good performance on Saturday, and in the end, I think they did. But you mentioned Athletic's players expressing a little frustration post-match, saying they did have the chances to score, they thought they deserved a little bit more. They have Jan Oblak to kind of stew over, rather, after this one. Oblak making two absolutely humongous saves. The first one coming in the first 75 seconds, James.
That was a stunning header from Inigo Martinez, who still hasn't scored a goal since joining Athletic from Real Sociedad a couple years ago. When he got the header, I was impressed that he could even get his head to it because it was a tough ball to get to. But as I saw that ball dip towards goal, I immediately stood up in my living room. I thought that was going into the back of the net. And what a goal it would have been 75 seconds in for Athletic to be leading at the Wanda Metropolitano. That could have been the game if that went in because Athletic are so good defensively. But Jan Oblak, who in my opinion is the best goalkeeper on the planet, I think he's one of the best of the last decade from all my years of covering football. Jeremy, I don't know what to say. That's a game-changing save, and when you have a player like that, you win games because of him sometimes. And I do not understand how his release clause is still 120 million euros because there's a handful of huge clubs around Europe that I'm surprised have not been just banging on the door trying to get him. And maybe they have. You definitely know more about that than I do. But 120 million for Jan Oblak would be an absolute steal. He was a monster today.
The most prominent interest has come from PSG, but they have Keylor Navas now. So it is kind of criminal, A, that his release clause is still relatively low, and B, that he is not given more recognition. Atletico supporters and writers have been kind of spoiled by some of the saves he's made since his arrival in 2014. This was just another one. My hands were on, like, covering my mouth, like, oh, that's going in, isn't it? And it was an amazing kind of effort from Inigo to get to that ball. He really had to stretch to get there, and it was this looping header that a lot of goalkeepers, I'd say 9.5 out of 10 goalkeepers do not make that save. But Oblak did, really had to claw it away. And yeah, like you said, that really could have changed the entire game if that does find its way in. Athletic get the early goal. And from there, the entire approach, the entire strategy could have changed. Atletico would have to play on the front foot, and that's not always the most comfortable thing for them to do. So just from that, in that context, just a huge save. And then Atletico go ahead through Saul. He makes another save on dear friend Raul Garcia. He just lashed this one in, and Oblak had to again parry it away for a corner.
I don't know how Rulo sees these openings sometimes, because he's done that before, and it's ended as a goal, but not against the Oblaktopus, as so many people like to call him. The other thing is, Athletic fans have somewhat given Raul Garcia some criticism over the last couple of years when playing against Atletico Madrid. It seems like he doesn't play at quite the same level, although I'm not one of the people who agree with that assessment, I think he is just as passionate and fiery and angry as mm-hmm. any other team he plays against. But it's easy to look and say, well, he hasn't scored goals against them, so something's missing. I don't think that's the case. I think he played well today. I think he was physical today. But Ian Oblak made another good save. But when that ball was going on that, I thought something could happen there. Maybe this is a difference maker. But again, Oblak being the difference maker, I think he's the reason this game ended the way that it did. And Atleti took all 3 points because Atleti created chances. They really did. Rulo also had that cross in the first half, which looked like it was going to drop onto Iñaki Williams' right foot and yep. into the back of the net. Another moment that I stood up and then immediately put my hands on my head. I thought he had missed the shot at first, but it looked like it got cleared away for a corner. But Rulo played well against his former team, but still nothing to show for it.
Yeah, he was just as argumentative as usual, just as fiery and, as you said, angry as usual. He was arguing with the referee at full time, which is not surprising to us at Atletico supporters and writers who have followed him throughout his career. We do miss him dearly, and this is why. And he is physical, combative. We miss him a lot. But we're also very glad that he's prospered at Athletic, and he continues to do so as he hits his mid-30s. But yeah, he played well, and at Athletic through the middle, particularly in the first half, found a lot of joy through Rulo and through Iker Muniain as well. I thought he was really, really good in the first half, and he could have drawn a penalty, James. What did you think of this decision here? Didn't even go to VAR. There seemed to be some contact with him and with Saul just after the goal.
I thought it was a penalty, if I'm being honest, and I kind of pride myself on trying to be as objective as possible. It didn't look to me like it was shoulder on shoulder. Iker was in front of Saul playing with the ball. I think he did a good job of keeping him on his back. I don't think that Iker went down easily either. I think he tried to stay up. I thought it was a penalty. If it had gone to VAR and they decided that, oh, it was just physicality, two players going at it, no penalty, of course, Athletic fans wouldn't have been happy, but I could have understood it. But the fact that it didn't even go to VAR, I was surprised. And not even saying that the referee should have gone over to the monitor to look at it, but there wasn't even a stoppage with his hand on his ear listening to what they had to say. Just to say that's a no call and not to even look at it was very, very surprising. And again, I'm not saying that a penalty definitely should have been given there. I thought personally that it was a penalty. But to not even review it to me was questionable. But Iker did have a good game, and he's definitely at his best when he is playing through the middle, which has been hard because you have Raul Garcia there, and that's his best position as well. But when Iker was central, especially in the second half, he was pretty much the only spark. I remember that one run that he had where I think he took the ball between Thomas Partey's legs and then did the same to Koke and kept going, and eventually I think it was Saul who dragged him down and got a yellow card, but Iker just kept taking the ball forward. You hate it because you just expect that eventually he's going to create something from it. But again, that's another one of those big moments you look back and you ask your what ifs, even though that doesn't change anything now. But had Athletic gotten a penalty there, maybe Raul Garcia converts it against his former club, and maybe we're talking about a 1-1 draw with both teams canceling each other out. But again, it's not the way that the chips fell.
It's all about the margins. And yeah, I too was surprised that this wasn't given a second look. I thought it was more physicality than a clear penalty, but to not even go to VAR, I think, was a bit surprising. I'm not saying Atletico caught a huge break there, but it was a close call, and that is another situation combined with the two saves Oblak made. That is a situation that could have changed the game and could have altered the strategy completely and kind of turned things on its head. I've always been a fan of Iker Muniain, short aside. The comparison that to make with him is that he is Athletic's version of Koke. Just came up as a kid, bleeds the club's colors, wears it on his sleeve. He is the captain. The injuries have been tough for him, but I'm glad to see him back playing healthy.
Yeah, Iker is Athletic through and through. I like the Koke comparison. That's very much true. That was his 300th appearance in La Liga.
In La Liga.
He's actually made 395 appearances for Athletic as a whole right now, so just five shy of 400, and he's still in his mid-20s. He's probably going to crack 500. I wouldn't be surprised if he does that, but yeah, he's a great player, and he's changed so much. When he came up, he was more so a an out wide winger who liked to dribble and take on players, and now he's learned how to control his center of gravity, how to pick out passes, just be more of a player who can dictate play. And of course, the two torn ACLs kind of forced him to change the way he plays. But you don't see a lot of players who go through injuries like that and reinvent themselves and continue to play at a high level. But yeah, I love the Koke comparison you give there. They're two local boys who came up. They love their club. They're fully dedicated to their club, and play similar positions. Can play out wide. Can play in the middle. But I would like to see both of them get more chances with the Spanish national team for sure.
Koke's kind of been out of the plans since the last World Cup. But yeah, Iker, despite those two knee injuries, he's younger than Koke, and he's only about 30 appearances away from Koke's mark. Koke was kind of at the center of this turbulence in midweek, and I thought he put in a better performance Saturday. Was on the right-hand side again. First half was a bit sloppy from him, but he recovered well in defense. And the second half, he added cohesion to midfield that we've talked about on the pod before that makes him so important. Fired off a couple key passes, 84% pass accuracy over 68 touches. When Koke is going well, Atletico are going well, and that is what we saw in the second half. On your pod earlier this week, James, we talked about the battle on the flanks, the battle between the fullbacks, and how that was going to be key to the result in this one. It was close early, but by the end of the match, I think Kieran Trippier and Renan Lodi were kind of head and shoulders above what Ander Kappa and Yuri were able to accomplish. You think Yuri was still dealing with the shoulder injury that almost kept him out?
Yeah, I saw a couple of times where he was grimacing, and earlier in the week it was reported that he was grimacing during training, which isn't surprising. He dislocated that same shoulder last year as well, so the chances of him being pain-free in that shoulder the rest of the season is probably very low. So I think that, you know, definitely affected it, but he's gone several weeks without playing, so to jump back right into the team after just 1 week of training at La Sama at the Wanda Metropolitano against Atletico Madrid is asking a lot of him. I think he played decently, but it was far from his best performance. And on the other side, Ander Kappa did what he could, but it really felt as though both of those players who love to get forward were having to do a lot more defending than they were attacking, and part of that was just because of the way the match was going. Atletico wanted to attack down the wings a lot, but also they were pulling Danny Garcia out of position a little bit, pulling Una Nunez out of position, and Berchiche and Kappa were having to cover defensively a little bit more than they normally have to, which just singled out Iker out wide and Inigo Cordoba as well, who were kind of left alone to try to create, and a lot didn't come from it. But I agree. Atletico won the battle on the flanks, and as you and I both agreed, that was probably going to be what decided the match, and it really did.
Yeah, and Renan Lodi in particular, another impressive performance from him. His adaptation to Atletico continues to impress. He continues to get better and better, continues to improve defensively. His first touch is tremendous, and he is a much more active and mobile fullback than the guy who's 13 years older than him, Felipe Luis, now playing back home in Brazil. Trippier contributing to that second goal. Talked a little bit about the opening goal from Saul, the kind of effectively a 1-2 with Correa. He finishes with the left foot after Correa turns and tees it up for him. Took a slight deflection, couldn't quite see off who, but Unai Simon didn't really have a chance because of that deflection. And then Correa gets his second assist on the Morata goal, which Trippier was involved in. Really nice build-up play, which Atletico are capable of this. We don't often see it, but they are capable of this, James. Trippier to Koke, back to Correa, across the six-yard box, and Morata sweeps home with the right. And that was your game, essentially. Athletic didn't create much danger after that.
Yeah, Una Nunez just had to do better with that first goal. Of course, Angel Correa, that turn that he made when he received the ball was all the difference. And then he kind of sent Nunez running after that with a cut back in. And for a player in Nunez who's been linked with moves to Bayern Munich, Arsenal, Everton, Barcelona, you know, name a big club, he's been linked to them at this point because his release clause is so low and he's not playing a lot at Athletic. He said before that when he gets his chance, he wants to make the most of it and prove that he is just as good as Yuri and Inigo Martinez. And he had that opportunity tonight on the biggest of stages, and it didn't go his way. I think he was the poorest athletic player on the pitch. It wasn't just that moment he was called out of position a couple of times. Correa seemed to have his number all game, and he just couldn't keep up with the pace, with the agility, the dribbling. And he was a liability, and I think he should have done better on that first goal. The second goal was just a great team goal from Atletico. Berchiche getting pulled out, opening the space there so you can get the ball in behind, and then just playing it across the goal. I'll say this, and those who listen to the Inside Athletic podcast know that I watch goalkeepers very closely. I was a goalkeeper growing up. I know a good idea about the position there. Unai Simón did not fully extend coming out for that ball. I don't know if he was afraid of contact or afraid of maybe punching the ball off of a defender and into the back of the net like he did last weekend against Real Valladolid, but he looked timid, he looked a little bit nervous and unwilling to fully extend, because that ball across the face of the goal to Alvaro Morata should have never made it to the other side. Simón should have been all over that. But he wasn't, and Nunez couldn't get a foot to it either, and then it's 2-0, and at that point the game was over. And you could tell the game was definitely over when Gasca Garitano brought off Iñaki Williams for Aris Aduriz. Part of that being that Athletic will play Espanyol on Wednesday night at San Mamés. It was almost as if, and this is what I tweeted out, that Garitano is giving Iñaki some rest before Wednesday night, because if you're taking off Iñaki and putting on Aduriz, I really don't think you're going for goals at that point, because you're taking off one of your most dangerous attackers and just replacing him with another who's 38 years old, so not necessarily the freshest of legs there. So the 2-0 was over, but from an Athletic point of view, Nunez is going to want that game back, because that might be one of the worst performances I've seen from him over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I rate Uri pretty highly. I think he's a really good center back, and that is tough from that vantage point for Unai Nunez, because Uri, you expect Uri to get back into this team Wednesday?
Yes, I do. I was actually surprised that he didn't start tonight. He didn't have the best game against Real Valladolid. He had a bad touch, which led to a one-on-one, and then he made a mistake which led to a play which led to Real Valladolid's equalizer late in the game. Not that he was directly responsible, but it was a rare poor performance from Uri. But in my opinion, he's the best of the three center backs at Athletic. I think he should be getting regular calls up to Spain over Inigo Martinez, just as good as he's been. I think that Uri has been one of the top three center backs in La Liga over the last couple of years. He's just so solid. And he's the reason Unai Nunez isn't playing. And I know some Athletic fans have different opinions. They think Nunez should be in, but I've never wavered on my opinion that Uri should be one of the first names down. I was surprised he didn't start tonight. I think maybe a little bit of that was the recent news that Bayern Munich are looking at Unai Nunez. I would hate to think that Gasca Garitano chose his lineup for tonight, or was coerced by higher ups to put Nunez in just because of that. I don't think that's the case, but there's a reason Uri didn't start, and maybe Garitano was just showing him, hey, if you make mistakes, Nunez is ready to come in and try to take your spot. But I would be shocked if Uri is not on the field Wednesday night against Espanyol.
And I agree with that analysis of Uri's place in terms of Spanish center backs, especially younger Spanish center backs. He's quite good, and he did sign that renewal over the summer that locks him up till 2026, which is huge news for you guys. And of course, Uri has been through a lot personally in terms of his health, fighting cancer. He's been through a lot, and to maintain that level despite the health issues is huge. That speaks to his character and just the fight he had to put up to come back. It's super impressive.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite at some of this for so many reasons. Battling the testicular cancer, beating it twice, just an incredible story, and one that you can't really over talk about or over exaggerate. It's amazing what he's come back from. But he's always been so dedicated to the club. He's been an Athletic fan since he was a kid. Now, his social media accounts are pictures of him in an Athletic shirt when he was about 4 or 5 years old. He's just as much Athletic as some of these other players are. His story is one of overcoming, and he's not just a cancer survivor. He's also a top center back. I know that Atletico were linked with him over the summer.
Yep.
I had no doubt that he was going to stay. But I have to say, I'm glad he has.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, and Atletico have been linked with Urai in the past. They eventually went for Mario Hermoso. But yeah, Urai is awesome. It was a bit surprising to me to see him out of this team. Back to Unai Simon for a second. He had a couple adventures in this game, James. And as a former goalkeeper yourself, you can speak to them. In the first half, he kind of got into it with Koke a little bit on the byline. He tried to hoof it downfield, and it deflected off Koke, bounced off him, and eventually he has to kind of worm his way toward the byline just to get the ball out. And in the second half, he takes out Diego Costa with the game at 2-0. That was an iffy one. I think that could have been a red under different circumstances, but he had a bit of a strange one. For some of our listeners who may not watch Athletic very much, is that kind of out of character?
Yes, it is, and I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. He seemed nervous at times, a little unsure of himself. This is quite possibly one of the biggest stages he's ever been on. You know, he did play at the Camp Nou last year, but I think tonight underneath the lights, and what a great atmosphere that was at the Wanda, but maybe he was just a little bit shaky, a little bit nervous, because he did the right thing trying to stop the ball and then clear it up the field. But when it didn't get cleared and he ran back to it, I thought he should have just kicked it out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
But maybe he thought he'd get something else from it. And, you know, those are the type of plays where when he's holding the ball up at the corner flag trying to play the ball off of Koke there, a couple of things can happen. Either he's going to kick that ball off of Koke out for an Athletic throw-in, and, you know, that's the type of play that you look back, and if Manmore Noor does it, you talk about how he's so much more than a goalkeeper. That's an amazing play. That'll be on one of his YouTube highlights. But if he tries to play it off of Koke and it goes underneath him and another attacker picks it up and puts it in the back of the goal, then we're talking about how unnecessary that play was. And luckily, neither one of those things happened. I think that he tried to get the ball forward, Koke kicked it off of him, and it was a throw-in, and nothing came of it. But the second play in the second half, I think that should have been a red card. Of course, Costa did drag that last foot, but that's what you're taught to do to get that foul there. Had the game been closer, I think maybe the referee would have just given him a straight red, but with it basically being done and dusted 2-0, I think the referee just might not have been as bothered by it.
Perhaps a little sympathy.
If you could say that and just gave him a yellow so just play could continue or something, which I am thankful for that he's available for the next match, but it was atypical of Simon. His biggest weakness has always been his composure with balls in the air, especially low crosses like the one that led to the Morata goal, or last week the one that he punched off of Inigo Martinez. Maybe he's still thinking about that mistake last week and trying to make up for it, but it was a different Unai Simon than I'm used to seeing, and we've been watching him since he's 14. Tonight was a weird one.
He did himself no favors on the Correa goal, as you mentioned, and for Correa, I don't know where this came from. This was his best performance, not just of the season, but for several months, dating back to last season. He had kind of a horror show at the end of last year, was linked very strongly with a move away to Milan over the summer that did not materialize. If he had moved, Rodrigo Moreno would have come in from Valencia. That was a move that I was in favor of, kind of trumpeting on this podcast for a little while, but did not materialize. Correa has stayed, and he played his, like I said, his best game in several months, laid on 2 assists. Did have that one moment of attitude where he picked up the yellow card, but he showed some chemistry with Morata, which is surprising considering the two have never played together. He has had some success against Athletic in the past, though. Has a couple goals against them, including one in Madrid, the final goal at the Calderon 2 years back. But the 2 assists tonight, that's huge for him. And with João Félix being out for another 3 to 4 weeks, he's going to get opportunities to do this, to get minutes, to have performances like this in the future. And it's a good first step for him. And Atletico in general, I think, were very fluid in attack. They asked a lot of questions of this very solid, very stout Athletic defense. Despite having less possession, 45% possession, Atletico's combination play was a lot better. Their build-up play was a lot smoother. And the second half was just such an assured performance, a much more intense performance. And it was impressive how they closed this out. I think from that standpoint, this is a much more impressive win than the Leverkusen game. And for Athletic, you just have to look forward to midweek against Espanyol.
Right, and I like what Garitano said after the match when addressing Angel Correa. He said that he gave us a lot of problems and specifically asked about him filling in for João Félix. He said when one player is gone, another arrives. And that was very much the case, because I don't feel that Joao Felix was missed tonight for Atletico.
Not really.
And neither was Jose Jimenez. I think that they played well with both of those absences, and I really felt that the Felix was going to be missed very much, but Correa made that non-existent. I personally, from an outsider perspective, was very impressed with Correa, and I feel like every time I watch an Atletico game, and maybe it's just happening against Atletico, but I always see a lot of quality in Angel Correa, and I was pretty much surprised over the summer when I saw him linked with a move away, especially considering that there weren't, you know, a lot of wide options other than Thomas Lemar and Vitolo, unless you were going to play Felix outright or Saul and Koke, who I would love to see more in the midfield because I think they can create a lot there. But Cholo has his own ideas of what he wants to do, and who am I to argue with such a accomplished manager? But I didn't want him to leave from a La Liga point of view. I've always thought he was a quality player, and I hope he continues to find more of a footing, more of a rhythm at the Wanda, hopefully not against Atletico and matches ahead. But tonight, I think he was the X factor for Atletico. He was certainly the biggest problem for Atletico's defense. And now the Lions are in a difficult position. Five straight games without a win. Tonight's result wasn't surprising, but in the grand scheme of things, it hasn't been a good run. And right now, as we speak, Atletico are 10th in the table. At least two or three clubs could overtake them with results on Sunday. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. So we could be talking about Atletico being in the bottom half of the table just a little over a month after they were at the top of the table. There's no excuse if Athletic can't win this game. I don't care if it's a fantastic performance, but all they could get was a draw. They have to get 3 points because after that, they're traveling to Villarreal, who are probably one of the hottest teams in the league. And then they're coming back home for Levante. I think out of those three games, Athletic have to get 6 points if they're going to seriously stay in that battle for Europe.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Espanyol, rock bottom of the table. They are just in terrible shape. I mean, they are integrating a new coach, obviously, in Pablo Machin, which I think was a great hire, but they are kind of a tire fire right now. And for Athletic, that's a huge chance, especially at home. And this is a team that really needs to get their goal-scoring boots back. They have been shut out 3 times in the last 4, all of them losses, no wins in 5, and it's tough. I think Garitano has done a great job since his appointment, and this Athletic team under the right circumstances can compete for a European place. I do think that, but got to be able to score goals. Got to find – it's the same problem Atletico have dealt with this season. So I sympathize with you, James. I really do. This is an Athletic team that has got to be able to score goals. Being shut out like that 3 times in the last 4 is obviously just not going to cut it. So Espanyol midweek is a giant game. Atletico are traveling to Alaves. Alaves were pounded by that Villarreal team that is hotter than the sun, leading La Liga in goals scored, second in goal difference at plus 10. Atletico play Wednesday. Atletico play the early game Tuesday. So definitely we'll be keeping an eye on those results.
This league has been so unpredictable over the past year, really, dating back to last season. I was looking at it before this weekend's matches started, and Athletic came into the weekend 8th, but were 4 points off the relegation zone. That's how tight it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at Espanyol and say how poor they've been, and Real Betis underperforming. Leganés just got their first win today. But other than really those top spots, the table is wide open, and it's made for a very fun La Liga. And from an Athletic point of view, and probably the same point of view of several other clubs, you can drop a couple of games and fall very far, but then if you win a couple of games, you climb very fast. Athletic might be 12th, 13th, potentially, by Wednesday, but they get a result against Espanyol, a win there, and they might climb back up to 8th or 9th. And then you got the 2 games against Villarreal and Levante, and maybe you're 7th at that point, or 6th. Who knows? It's so wide open, which is good because if your form dips, you can be okay if you can get it back together. But if your form stays bad, you can fall very, very fast. So it's made for a very exciting league from a neutral standpoint, I think, for a lot of clubs. But there's always that panic when you see your team underperforming. And the good thing now for Atletico is you're right there at the top again, and you don't have to worry about what's going to happen next because that Clásico between Barcelona and Real Madrid is being – moved. We think dates keep being turned around, so who knows when that's going to get played, but at least gives you a little bit of breathing room for you guys to get back up close to the top.
Yeah, as of now, that Clásico is going to take place on December 18th, but who knows? It's Spain. These things change rather quickly. And yeah, this was an important win for Atletico to get back toward the top of the table. Now level on points with Barca, even though they have the game in hand. You can fall fast. Atletico were top after the first international break through 3 weeks. They were out of the top four at the last international break. Now second again. They could still fall to as low as fifth, I think, on Sunday. It's been very entertaining. It's been very fun to follow. Especially from the neutral point of view, just kind of watching the other 19 teams and doing what they do. So hopefully it stays this way. And it's a great look for the league. It shows the progress that's been made, and I hope it continues. The kind of the last thing I want to touch on, we spoke about Urie earlier and the loyalty to Athletic signing that long-term contract extension. Iker Muniain has done the same thing, and Iñaki Williams has done the same thing. Athletic players just, they don't really want to leave, do they, James? Coming up through that academy, there is this fierce sense of loyalty that is lacking, really, at just about every other club in Spain. Can you speak to that a little bit and why that is the case for particularly players in Bilbao?
Sure. It's there, and it's very prevalent because it's an intentional part of the way that most of these players are trained. Just for recency purposes, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's been a lot of reports lately that Real Madrid are looking at signing Unai Simón, mm-hmm. Who is probably going to be breaking out into the Spanish national team soon. He was playing with U21s, and maybe he could be that third goalkeeper behind David De Gea and Kepa Arrizabalaga. But with his release cost being $50 million, there's been reports, especially from AAS, saying that Real Madrid have identified him as a possible replacement for Thibaut Courtois, who has definitely not played at the level expected when they signed him from Chelsea, which probably makes you a little bit happy there.
A little bit.
but what's not being talked a lot about is the interview that he gave early this morning before the game, and we have it up on InsideAthletic.com, but he was asked about that. He was asked, what do you think about the interest from Real Madrid? What do you think of your future with Athletic? And he just straight out said, I will stay as long as Athletic will have me. He said the only way I can thank the club for everything they gave me is to give them the goalkeeper they developed. And when asked about Lezama, he said, we have great coaches there, but one of their best things is they instill in us the values of Athletic. And if you look at the coaching staff from top to bottom, especially at the academy, it's made up mostly of either former first-team players or players who at one point were at Lezama, maybe they didn't make the first team and they stayed in the Segunda B, or maybe they only played in the Segunda. But it's coaches who have been there, who know the importance of Athletic, who are now coaching these players. You look at Gasca Garitano. He wasn't a first-team player for Athletic, but he grew up literally across the street from Lezama. When he got married, he told his wife, we are going to live across the street from Lezama. That is home. Bilbao Athletic, the B team, is coached by Joseba Echeverria, one of the club legends.
Yep.
City Vasconia, the C team, coached by Pachi Salinas, another club legend. It's all these coaches telling them from day one when they arrive at the academy, truthfully, and this is what many of the players believe, there is no club bigger than Athletic. Mm-hmm. Quoted Iker today, and he said, winning a title with Athletic is better than winning the Champions League with anyone else. So it's an intentional part of the way these players are grown, and it's part of the culture as well. When you walk around Bilbao, you don't see other shirts. I've been to Madrid. I've been to Barcelona. I see other shirts. I see PSG shirts, Manchester United shirts, Real Madrid shirts in Barcelona, Barcelona shirts in Madrid, and other cities around Europe that I've been to. I've seen Barcelona shirts in Munich. I've seen Liverpool shirts in Manchester. It's everywhere you go, there's big clubs. But in Athletic, in Bilbao, there is only Athletic, and that's what a lot of these players believe growing up. Some do leave. Kepa left, others left, Fernando Llorente left, mm-hmm. Ander Herrera wasn't part of the academy, and neither was Javi Martinez, and they left. Aymeric Laporte left, but he wasn't from the area, being French. He was brought in as a teenager, but even then, the way he left was a lot more respectful. He made sure the club got a lot for him before he left, and he never said that I was going to stay forever, he kind of set the expectation that he might leave one day. But then you have the Ikers, the Iñakis, the Simons, the Yarais, the DeMarcoses, who aren't going anywhere because they truly, in their heart, believe there is nothing more than Athletic out there.
And that is something that I personally, I don't feel like you have a choice but to just respect that greatly. And it's a very, like you said, very intentional, strategic move on the part of the club to install these former players, these club legends, with the B team, with the C team at Lezama, and develop these players with those ideals and it's and those virtues and this idea that no club is bigger than Athletic. I don't really see any other way, any way you can't respect that. And it's run, Athletic are run really unlike any other club in Spain. The most financially healthy club in Spain, because you know, they don't buy anybody. This, all the money is funneled back into the academy and developing players. Who are some of the brightest prospects currently at Lezama playing for Bilbao Athletic? Who should we be keeping an eye on?
Well, there's a lot of names to go through.
I bet,
but
yeah.
I'll stick with the ones to definitely keep the closest eye on. One would be Oyon Sanset, who's already made his first team debut earlier this season in that win against Barcelona at San Mamés. He's a midfielder, 19 years old, and the most interesting thing about him is we still don't know what his best position is. He's played in a pivot. He's played as an attacking midfielder. He's played as a box-to-box midfielder. Now, he's not a defensive midfielder, but he really is a player who can run everywhere on the pitch. Bilbao Athletic actually played Real Valladolid's B team earlier today, who are like 1 point behind in the table, and they beat them 4-1 at Lezama. And every time I looked up, Sanset was somewhere else on the pitch. There was one moment where he made a tackle in the box on defense, and then on the counterattack, the striker had the ball, held it up, and then played the ball forward, and it was Sanset making the run. 2 seconds later, he was in the midfield keeping the shape. He's everywhere, got a great shot, great vision. He's about 6'3", so he's tall and lanky. And my co-host Ryan says he runs like a stork, which is the best way to say it, because he's got these crane legs, but you can't take the ball off of him. He is going to be something special. Already got called up to the U21 team for Spain and made his debut there just a couple of weeks ago. And then the other player would be his midfield partner, Unai Vencedor, who is a year younger. He plays in a pivot, kind of a more structured defensive midfielder. He's not going to beat you with tackles. He's going to beat you with his positioning. He makes a lot of interceptions, but he's got this keen eye where he can just pick out passes. I've seen him give assists from his own box where he just looks up, sees a run, plays the ball that forward on the ground because he can just put it anywhere. He's scored a couple of goals this year, already 3 goals straight from free kicks and assists from corners. And I would be remiss if I did not mention Nico Serrano, 17-year-old playing for I thought it's Juvenil A team, which is their U18 team. He is a goal scoring machine. I think we mentioned him on the podcast when you joined us. Signed from Villarreal last year. He's an animal, a left winger. He can dribble, shoot, score, pass, everything. It's not going to be long before he's doing something special. I think he's going to skip the C team and go straight to Bilbao Athletic, which is what happened with Sanset and Vencedor and others who eventually reached the first team. But those three right now are the three for the future to watch probably more than anyone else.
Just the way Athletic churn out these prospects is every year there's someone with such high potential, and they're all going to sign long-term contracts, so there's no real concern about losing them. It's impressive, and the financial health of Athletic is something I really envy, because Athletic will have a ton of debt, the other big clubs have a ton of debt, and yeah, Athletic got to build San Mamés and remain just financially solvent. Beautiful new San Mamés, and they are still in really healthy shape. So it's something to admire, definitely. And Atletico will travel to San Mamés later this season. Lost there last year. I will be hoping for a different result. I bet you will not be. And yeah, hopefully, James, we can reconvene ahead of or after that match.
Yeah, I would like a similar result to last year. We'll see where both of these clubs are when that happens. But definitely look forward to talking again for sure. It's always a pleasure.
James Echegori, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Not a bad debut for you, I would say.
Thank you, Jeremy. I really appreciate you having me on.
You can find James on Twitter at Inside Athletic, a great, great resource for information about that club in English. He has his own podcast as well. Give it a listen. I recommend it. I'm on Twitter at JB Barron, Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. You can like ITC on Facebook, find all new and archived episodes of this podcast on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts. Patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat is where we host bonus content. Instant analysis of Atletico and Athletic is up on the Patreon page right now. And we'll be doing another bonus pod, instant analysis, on Tuesday following Atletico's game at Alaves. Until next week, adios.